Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
For Bills fans.
Let's go, Buffalo!
By Bills fans.
Only Buffalo is going to win it!
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones.
This is pandemonium!
Here's Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn.
And welcome back for another edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn, Alex Jones, happy to be joining you here as the Buffalo Bills get set to take on the Miami Dolphins coming up from Highmark Stadium. This game will be televised on Prime on Thursday Night Football. So here we are. We're through 2 weeks in the NFL. The Buffalo Bills sit on top of their division at 2-0. The Dolphins 0-2. The Jets 1-1, the Patriots 1-1. It's really early. We're only at week 3 in here, but right now Buffalo's shaping up to be in good shape here. What's your pulse here on the Buffalo Bills at this point, Alex?
I honestly think the Bills are in the best position they've been in a minute. It's a relatively easy schedule going forward. I think that the Dolphins are going to come in hot, but this team just looks so good. Right off the word go, they just everything about, and I will recap last week's game, but everything just felt methodical last week. Everybody was firing on all cylinders, and man, did that defense look elite.
I think I've used this term on this podcast several times, but I always called games like that, you know, a put your feet up kind of game or relax kind of game. It never felt in doubt, it never felt panic, it never felt worried at any point. They came in, they imposed their will, and they said, yeah, you may be in our division, you may play us, you may have, you know, just skated by Pittsburgh, but we're the Buffalo Bills, and this is how it's going to be.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's it. It felt like the whole time they were like, no. This is our game to impose our will, not the other way around.
I mean, from that first drive, they were helped out with some penalties. Clements, still a relatively dirty player. He's the one who got into it with Deion Dawkins in the tunnel. So, allegedly, he was the one who got in Josh Allen's face mask. And I don't know if it was a broken nose or just a contusion, but obviously bloody enough that he had to get some gauze and get that taken care of. And it was funny, while he was out, Mitchell Trubisky completed a pass that was more yards than Justin Fields had passing the entire day. Crazy
stuff. Yeah, what a gutsy throw.
Some takeaways in this one. Receiving wise, Jordan Palmer, I think, is starting to look like the guy we would hope he would be. It's still early on. Got to see some speed from Elijah Moore taking it into the end zone against his former team. And then James Cook showing, hey, you paid me this kind of money, I'm going to show you why you're going to pay off from your investment.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he just looked really good. It was a James Cook looked like every inch of the money that we gave him, every dollar, every cent. What an amazing run by him. Genuinely just going. He felt left. He goes left, gets stopped, able to turn it back, cut, jump cut right, takes it to the house. Honestly, that was one of the best runs I think I've ever seen from him.
He looked
like that was James like a Cook. Truce. Yeah, like a true superstar run there. You know, that's a true one back, right? The Bills like to spell him, but they also, I understand, like, spelling him, but at the same time, that was just impressive.
And it's funny, they just released this week, there's several bakeries in town that are carrying it, the James Cook cookie. Now I kind of want one. I'm hungry for more.
Yeah, me too.
So Cook looked solid. I thought the receiving core looked solid, and Josh Allen looked fine. He didn't have to wear a cape in this one, and that's fine by me.
Fine by me too, Brad. You know what? Don't. Honestly, it's one of those times where it's like, you know what? It's better to, you know, not throw everything at him, not throw everything at, you know, your opponent. And let, you know, don't let them know what you're planning on doing.
Joey Bosa with a strong performance in this one. Finished the game, I believe, 2 sacks from Bosa, including a forced fumble. Buffalo's defense looked very good, even without Ed Oliver. And there's some concerns going to this week that Matt Milano, apparent pec injury, that he's probably not going to play. And honestly, the way Dorian Williams has played, the way the Bills' defensive line looked, I'd say give these guys 10 days rest and maybe we'll see them against the Saints. And that's a maybe. Maybe we don't need to see them against the Saints.
Yeah, honestly.
I mean, top to bottom, it was a good win.
Absolutely.
I heard Aaron Glenn after the game say the Jets lost all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams, and Buffalo clearly won all three phases. It was more than clear early on in this game that they were the better team, and this was a game where we could just sit back, relax, check our fantasy lineup. Zero worries in this game whatsoever.
Absolutely.
Any other final takeaways between the Bills and the Jets?
You know, that was one of the, I think that was the biggest, like, and I don't mean that, like, oh, like, hey, this was, like, the best victory in Bills history. It was just one of, I think, one of the most, like, clear cut from the word go that it was, that we were going, that we had this, right? You march down the field, score, and you're just in control the whole time from the second, then they get a dumb penalty, and they're not able to do anything on the first drive, and now all of a sudden, you just control the entire game. It was just almost like, literally like, hey, you know what, we're just showing up. The Bills get the stop, they score, then Joey Bosa forces the fumble, get a field goal, stop, score. It was just workmanlike. I think Romo used that, but it just literally like, yo, they looked like they showed up to work, to do a job, and they were just like, you know what, and then they didn't end up scoring to what, the fourth quarter?
Yeah, and it was former Bill Tyrod Taylor leading the charge, 7 for 11, a touchdown, 56 yards passing. Yeah, it was a combined 105 yards passing between Fields and Tyrod Taylor.
And you know what? That's okay. It was scrubs and you.
It was garbage time. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
It wasn't even garbage time. It was like New Jersey
time. Felt like a well said. It felt like a preseason game by that point in the game.
Honestly, yeah.
All right. Well, a reminder, follow us across our social media networks. You can find Alex on Twitter at TWCallahanDHS. Follow me on Twitter at BillsBruiser. Follow us at DHS Buffalo. Find us at Facebook.com/BuffaloBillsDraftHouse and DraftHouseSports.com. Okay, we're going to take a quick break because on the other side of the break here, we're going to check in on the Miami Dolphins here. David Ferrones will be our guest. He's a beat reporter for the Sun Sentinel covering the Miami Dolphins along with a lot of South Florida sports. He'll join us on the other side of a break here. For Alex Jones, I'm Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn. This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown-up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. I'm Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn as we welcome in our guest. He covers the Miami Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel, joined here by David Ferrones. David, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Just on my way up, traveling to Buffalo. Glad to be doing it a little earlier in the season this time. There has been snow other times I've come through.
Yes, sir. So, I mean, I think back to 2022, mm-hmm. where Buffalo went down for a heat stroke type game. Several players went down with cramps. Miami wins that game. And ever since, Buffalo has strung together win after win after win against the Dolphins. How long have you been covering the team? How long have you been coming up here to Buffalo?
Yeah, my first year on the beat was 2021. So it's been, all losses that I've covered of the Dolphins, including a playoff game. And then also that snow game later that 2022 season. And me being from Miami, that was actually my first time driving in snows. Since I had my runner car, I had to drive out to the stadium. So I handled it okay. I'm still here today.
Well, very good. And fortunately, I don't think any snow is in the forecast for tomorrow night, so I think you're in good shape.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, it seems like folks are freaking out in South Beach. We're seeing reports of banners flying over to fire Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer. I mean, how bad is it really down in Miami? Is there that much panic amongst Dolphin fans?
Well, sure. I mean, it is within the realm of possibility that if the Buffalo Bills embarrass the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football and blow them out in this game, and the Dolphins fall to 0-3 and are showing they're nowhere near contending with the Buffalo Bills, that Mike McDaniel could get fired. I would say, yeah, if the Dolphins lose, there's got to be a certain number in owner Stephen Ross's mind that if they lose by a certain amount, then it could happen as of Friday. I think it's possible. But I would think it would take a lot. I would think it would take that the Bills run away from the Dolphins in this one, and it really just makes it where the team is 0-3 and really looking like this season is a lost cause. The Dolphins have just fallen from being a playoff team a couple of years running, the first 2 years of Mike McDaniel, 2022, 2023, to then falling out of the postseason last year, a very disappointing year. And then now, if they're at 0-3, getting blown out by Buffalo on that stage when there's already fans flying a banner overhead to fire him and Chris Greer, I could see it's possible. All I'm saying is that it's possible that owner Stephen Ross does decide to pull the trigger.
David Ferona is our guest, covers the Miami Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. You can also hear him on the Miami Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk along with the Big O Show. You can follow him on Twitter at @DavidFeronas_. Bills fans has to ask in this one. We've seen Tua play well against the Bills in the past. We've seen him go out with injury. What expectations are in for Tua Tagovailoa here in this week 3 divisional matchup?
Boy, and sometimes it feels like he's been cursed on Thursday nights and also sometimes playing against Buffalo. Obviously, there have been injuries, head injuries specifically that have occurred in Thursday night games. One time in Cincinnati last year when he played the Bills on a Thursday night at home. The interesting thing is he's been up and down where actually last year when the Dolphins traveled to Buffalo and no one expected them to have a chance. They were 2-5 going into that one. And it was actually a close game that came down to the final seconds. It took a Tyler Bass 61-yard field goal for the Bills to win at home when the Dolphins appeared down and out. And it took Jordan Poyer, former Bill, then with the Dolphins last season, committing a downfield penalty to get the Bills into striking distance for that field goal. So a lot happening at the end of that one. I think of that 2022 snow game where it was a 32-29 shootout where Tua kept right up with Josh Allen stride for stride. And he didn't play in the playoff game later, but then there was the Skylar Thompson-led game that came down to the wire in the playoffs, which was shocking. So I've kind of found it interesting that every time everyone thinks the Dolphins are so down and out going into a game in Buffalo is when they actually surprise and make it a close game, make it something that comes down to the wire. It was actually when the Dolphins came off the 70-20 win against the Broncos in week 3 of 2023 that they went to Buffalo the following week and lost 48-20 to the Bills. So kind of when they were rolling, then they got smacked in Buffalo. And then when everything was going wrong, several instances, they come out and contend right down to the wire against the mighty Bills who have run the AFC East for the past 5 years.
You bring up the name Jordan Poyer, and I got to ask, what is the sentiment amongst the Dolphins media, amongst the fans concerning Poyer, a guy who his wife earned the ire of Bills fans? We couldn't stand her when he was there before, but she threw shots at the Dolphins saying, you know, along the lines that the culture was a mess. I mean, how much of that is true, and what's the sentiment towards a guy who left the Bills after being cut, signs with a division rival, and ultimately wants to come back so bad that he signs to the practice squad?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Jordan Poyer, I know, makes an offseason home in South Florida, where his wife, Rachel Bush, is also from, and she attended Florida Atlantic University. So you know, she was down here back when she was going to college and everything. So I know he was excited about it when he first joined, just to get down into the sunshine. And his name was tied to the Dolphins a couple off seasons prior. Obviously, in the end, didn't work out. I think Dolphins fans kind of felt like by the time they got Jordan Poyer, he was just damaged goods at that point. He didn't have a successful season on the field, out of position a lot of times. You could tell he lost a step where he would take a bad angle, and he just didn't have the same speed to go keep up with some of the receivers he had to go out and, you know, make a tackle at an angle toward the sideline. So I think the Dolphins fans were done with him last year, and I know they really were when he committed that penalty. Some people were even throwing out that he was undercover over with the Dolphins. Obviously, I'm not going to buy that, but that's just some of the rhetoric that was being used down in South Florida after that game.
Joined here by David Ferones. He covers the Miami Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. Find him on Podcast Galore, along with the Miami Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk and the Big O Show. So coming into this game, like we said, Dolphins coming in at 0-2, but they've always played the Bills tight. What needs to go right for the Miami Dolphins to come in here to Western New York and get a crucial AFC East win against the rival, the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, if I'm the Dolphins, I look at sticking to the run, because the Dolphins actually are fourth in rushing average, but they are dead last in the NFL in rushing attempts. They got away from it, obviously, in the opener against the Colts when the score got away from them, so it was hard to find spots to run the football. And they got away from it again against the Patriots in week two when they still had opportunities in a close game to maintain some balance offensively. So I watched that game against the Ravens. Now, the Dolphins don't have a Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson combination back there, but I would say just finding some opportunities to run the football might be a way for the Dolphins to get some offense going, to keep up with Josh Allen and the Bills, but then also control some time of possession and keep that defense fresh and keep Josh Allen off the field.
Starting out the interview, we talked about, you know, the tension, the job security of Mike McDaniel, of Chris Greer. I got to ask, is Mike McDaniel as weird in person as he is on television?
Okay, that last one, because I am on a layover and I got to get to a flight soon. But Mike McDaniel is just he's a character. He's kind of toned it down with his humor with the season and his job in such dire straits. But he's so genuine. That's just who he is. He's just not going to change because he has to behave and act like what everyone else believes an NFL head coach should be. So he's just unapologetically himself, and it shows. And I mean, he tries to joke less, but then sometimes in a press conference, even this year, if something just falls right in his lap, he still can't help himself. He's still gonna quip about it and come up with something funny to say. So you feel for him because he is such a great guy, but obviously Dolphins fans and South Florida sports fans, they want results, and right now it's not happening. So he is on that really hot seat.
Well, I'm sure you got a full day of busy work tomorrow, but believe it or not, we do have beaches in Buffalo. So if you can sneak away, I say go to Lake Erie, walk the shore, see where Tre'Davious White likes to work out, and then obviously go cover the Dolphins. Look forward to having you tomorrow. Safe travels getting up to Buffalo.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks. And that was David Ferones, beat reporter for the Sun Sentinel, covering the Miami Dolphins. Taking a break, we'll give our thoughts on the Dolphins game as Alex and I will deep dive in to Bills Dolphins. Can they come and squish the fish in week three? We'll discuss on the other side of a break. This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Can we closet for a second?
Okay.
Thanks.
Hey, where are you going?
I need to pass gas.
Well, that's cool. You can do it here.
No way.
Go ahead. I don't care.
Look, if I pass gas in here, it's going to be toxic, and it could linger for hours, maybe days. Is that what you want?
No.
Be right back.
Secondhand smoke contains hydrogen cyanide and other deadly gases. Don't pass gas. Take it outside.
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Ikor and Alex Jones.
And welcome back to the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast alongside Alex Jones. I'm Brad the Bruiser Ikor. Just heard from David Ferones. He is the beat reporter for the Sun Sentinel out of South Beach covering the Miami Dolphins. Follow him at Twitter at David Ferones _. All right, let's get back into it. Here is the Buffalo Bills. Let's get back into it. Here is the Buffalo Bills get set to take on the Miami Dolphins here on prime time coming up here at 8:20 on Thursday, September 18th from Highmark Stadium here in Orchard Park, New York. How do you feel about this one? An 0-2 Dolphins team who comes off a tough loss against New England. Two drives to go ahead and try to regain that lead down the stretch. They could not do it, and ultimately it is the New England Patriots getting their first W under new head coach Mike Vrabel. How do you feel right now about the Miami Dolphins coming into this game, Alex?
I think it's do or die. Genuinely, I think this is I think this is a do-or-die game for them. I just don't know if they have the mental fortitude. If the Bills come in and just pound, you know, just come out and get an early stop, get an early everything. I just don't genuinely know if the Dolphins have the ability to stand up to it. And I think the Bills have been really good at staying on top of the Dolphins and forcing them early into positions they really don't like, especially at Highmark Stadium. Tua has an especially rough time. And I just think that Josh Allen continuously, genuinely could be undefeated against the Dolphins if it wasn't for Charles Clay and a couple other, and what was the other loss?
22 in the game where everyone was going down with cramps because they made the Buffalo Bills play in the Sun game. Yep.
And so I think it's one of those things where the Bills easily could end the Mike McDaniels era, to be honest. You know, it's looking rough right now.
And David Ferones put it out there that it's possible that if Buffalo really lays a smackdown on Thursday night, maybe it sends a big enough statement for Stephen Ross to go ahead and say, all right, time for a change here. And who knows, maybe Greer will stay on just like what happened with the Jets last year, and then they ultimately fire the GM. Maybe it's just a changing of the head coach at this point, and then the other dominoes start to fall later on. But it started hot, I thought, for McDaniels coming into that 2022 season, and every game since, or every year since at least, it's been less and less impressive. Let's go back to 2023, where Miami looked like, oh, they put 70 points down on a bad Denver team. They look amazing. And then Buffalo came and beat them, what, 48-20 the following week. Miami has, you know, they've come close against the Bills, as, you know, David alluded to, took Tyler Bass with a 61-yarder. But then, you know, an early game last year in September in South Beach, that game was never even close. Tua went out with a concussion in that game. I don't know. Miami really has seemed to find their match here. Like you said, Charles Clay, a former Dolphin, dropping a pass, and then that loss to them during a Heat game in which Josh Allen pretty much stood on his head, and they still didn't win, even with everyone dropping like flies in that game.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, that was one of the worst offensive performances we've seen from the Bills. To be honest, that was a game. I believe the Dolphins also only won by a singular score.
It was 1 point, loss, and I think Josh Allen threw for like over 400 yards in that 2022 loss.
Yeah, and you know what? That's just one of those. It's unfortunate. but it just is what it is. You know, that loss is quite literally just like the snow game, right? Like, if somebody wouldn't be like, oh, you know, the game against the Colts lost that. It's like, no, that was such a freak thing. So outside a late Charles Clay drop and the Sun game, the heat stroke game, those two games are the only times Josh Allen has come close, and that's a combined, I think, 7 points.
Yeah, between the two games? Yeah, that sounds about right. I think it was a six-point loss before and then a one-point loss the second time around. So it was funny. I sent my brother-in-law this. He did not respond, but it was a Father's Day card that said, Happy Father's Day from your dad, or Happy Father's Day, and it was from the Miami Dolphins to Josh Allen.
That is very funny, Brad.
Let's take a look at the injury report. Like we said, Matt Milano, Ed Oliver haven't practiced any day this week. I would not expect them to play. Right now, nope, they have been ruled out. So both Matt Milano, Ed Oliver out. No worries. I thought the defensive line looked strong enough last week. If Bosa can continue to stay healthy and get home, he's going to be a huge force here. And I'd like to see Groot take off. I feel like he's had strong performances. I felt like he had a multi-sack game last year against the Dolphins, that if Groot can go off in this game, and just if they can get pressure, because I think the formula to this one for the Bills is read to a pre-snap, kind of find who he's eyeing pre-snap, because he has to get the ball out quickly, get that pressure on him fast. That's kind of what the formula Indianapolis took against him week one. If you can follow that same formula, I think it'll be a successful performance from the Bills D.
Yeah, I agree, Brad. I think that's an easy way to get, you know, the Bills have had really good success against Tua early. And I think it's one of those where, you know, you need to get in his head early. You need to make him feel uncomfortable. And if you can go out there and put him on the back foot, that is your ideal scenario.
All right. Other folks on the injury report, limited in practice all week this week is Shaq Thompson. He's questionable. Teron Johnson has been limited with a quad injury. He is questionable. And Cam Lewis, questionable as well, limited all week with a shoulder. As for the Miami Dolphins this week, ruled out here, cornerback Storm Dunk. We'll just say a safety. I'm not going to even try to pronounce his name here. He's been ruled out. Questionable going into this one right now are Benito Jones, Chop Robinson, and then Waddle, who I don't think Waddle's been healthy all year. They were all limited in practice this week. Darren Waller, I don't think he's been even slightly. He was limited, but he's been ruled out for this game as well for the Miami Dolphins. I think they're going to...
Both teams going in real banged up. I believe they just lost Austin. They're starting right tackle Austin Jackson as well.
Injury reserve, right, for the year.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know what? It's a bad time for, honestly, for both teams for injury. You get those first, you know, those first games that are really, really, everybody gets banged up. The bodies aren't fully used to football yet. And so, you know what? It's good to see... You know, both teams are coming in injured. You know, it's not one of those games where you're like, oh, boy, I don't know how, you know, it's going to be tough because we're banged up and they're not. It's like, no, we're all injured. This is all banged up. And obviously, you know, excluding, like, you know, a major guy like Tyreek Hill or Jaylen Waddle being injured, this is an advantageous matchup for the Bills. They're going to try to get the ball out fast and take advantage of zones. And I think the Bills are going to do what they always do against Tua, which is sit back, not let the middle of the, you know, mid-route concepts open up.
Too high safety look.
Yep, too high safety. Like, hey, we're going to force everything underneath. We're okay with this. Trey White's probably going to be back. So, you know what?
I thought Trey looked like vintage Trey last week against the Jets. That if we can see more of that, that bodes well for the Bills' defense. And then let Josh Allen go out and be Josh Allen. Like we've said before, just let him go play ball here. Let him dance around in the pocket. Don't get cute. The series that made me mad in the Baltimore game is James Cook reels off 8 yards on first down and then stuffed for no gain, stuffed again, and they punt. Mix it up. Let Josh use his legs. I think that's what they did against the Jets. But take the points when you can. So far, Matt Prater has looked solid coming in for Tyler Bass, kicking the football. That looks to be a smart signing at this point. Let Buffalo be Buffalo in this one. If as silly and as simple and as cliche as that means sound, let the Bills be the Bills in this one, and I think they should walk out with a W. I know Devin Achane has been solid in rushing the football and has gashed the Bills, at least not last year, but the year prior. But outside of that, if they can, you know, too high safety look, keep everything underneath in the pass game and get home against Tua, I think that's going to bode well this week.
I think so as well, Brad. I think they... I just really like... This is another matchup where I'm just like... I like the matchup. I think the Bills are going to handle their business. They, you know, the Bills haven't really messed around in the past 2 years. There's no... You know, it's not like even for those games. You know, the Bills games... The Bills would classically fall into trap games. And then they just... They just haven't recently. You know what I mean? This isn't even a trap game because it's in division, but it's the thing of they go in, they handle business. And I think I love the upgrades. Joshua Palmer, Joey Bosa, as we mentioned earlier in the show, have already been paying dividends, and they look like two great additions to the squad.
I'm also a big fan of when this game is. I know Thursday Night Football, not awesome, especially from a work standpoint. Granted, celebrating an anniversary with my company equals an extra week of vacation equals I'm not going to work on Friday. My brother-in-law took the day off. He's actually flying in from, they live in Michigan now, but he grew up in South Beach. He's a huge Dolphins fan, and he's not a huge Dolphins fan. He's an obnoxious, annoying, let me hate you by the end of this sentence Dolphins fan. So I'm going to be going with that tomorrow night. I'm sure if my in-laws or anyone else are listening, they're not. But, no, I'm looking forward to having Uncle Greg in town. We're going to have a gay old time, as the Flintstones would say.
Yes. We love to see it, Brad. It's always fun when you get a little extra vacation in there,
well,
you know?
I love to take away fans to give them an experience of what it's like here, because I've been to plenty of NFL stadiums. I've been to Philadelphia. I've been to Arrowhead more times than I can count. I've been to Ford Field. I've been to Dallas. I've been to Houston. Buffalo is unlike any other NFL environment I've ever been to. And everyone says it's a college atmosphere. Yes and no. I think it's so unique in how Buffalo is set up that it's almost its own thing. And I think for someone else to actually come and see it and experience it, you don't get it watching it on television. You really have to be there to understand what it's like at a Bills game.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a... such a wildly experience of its own. Unique is the perfect word.
All right, shout out to my boy number 13, Stevie Johnson. He's going to be the legend of the game here for the Buffalo Bills. Yes, hanging up on the wall in the R Street Media Studios is a Stevie Johnson jersey signed. Why so serious? And he literally, I met him at a book signing at a brewery here in Buffalo, and he literally said, "Is that autographed? Oh, I got you, man." And he literally signed it right on my back, unprompted. He spotted me with a jersey, walked up to me, and immediately went and signed my jersey. And then when we went to meet him and get the children's book that he authored, I think it was called Freddie J's Big Game or something like that. Well, we get up there, and my son goes, "Hey, can you draw a swirl on here?" He's like, "Tell you what, my man." He takes his hat off and goes, "Draw a swirl on my hat." So my son David drew a big swirl on Stevie Johnson's hat that he wears. It's a green Buffalo Bills hat that he has Bills fans sign. He's the same
that's
one
awesome.
That
says, I love Stevie's the best.
What he put on Twitter, he said, "Hey, you're all on my fantasy team. You out there doing your job, you doing your work, you're on my fantasy team." I loved him when he was here. A tremendous route runner, a tremendous guy. I love Stevie Johnson. I think it's fun. He's a legend of the game.
Honestly, the only guy who consistently ate Darrell Revis's lunch, like a guy who consistently smoked him.
I love the celebrations, even when he did the jet thing and pretended to shoot himself in the leg when Plaxico Burress was there and got penalized for that. When he did the "Why so serious" at the Bengal game, I know Chan Gailey hated that. He got suspended for it when he held up his shirt and said "Happy New Year" against New England. He was a character. He was fun. He was one of the bright spots during the drought because there wasn't a lot of bright spots during the drought. He made the drought fun because he was one of the few bright spots on that roster.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, he's a guy who I think would have actually genuinely fit well with what the Bills are doing today. Like, they would he would have fit
in. He had this, everything, right?
Yeah, he fits this, you know, the Stevie Johnson walked so Deion Dawkins could run.
Well said. That's it. Yes, absolutely. So, looking forward to that tomorrow night. This will be on national televised. So, Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit will have the call on Prime. And I was almost semi-tempted. Maybe I'll put it in my bag to bring my Fitzpatrick jersey because Ryan Fitzpatrick will be there on the desk with the Prime crew tomorrow night.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a bad one, Brad.
Final thoughts going into this Thursday night primetime matchup versus the Finns.
Go Bills, baby.
Go Bills. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Find us across our social media. Find me on Twitter at Bills Bruiser. Find Alex at TW Callahan DHS. And find us at DHS Buffalo. Of course, at DraftHouseSports.com and at Facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Draft House. Big thank you to our guest, David Ferronis of the Sun Sentinel Miami Dolphins beat reporter. Follow him on Twitter at @DavidFerrones_. For Alex Jones, I'm Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn. Go Bills.
This has been the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Available on Spotify, Odyssey, Prime Music, Audible, or wherever you get your podcast.
An R Street Media production.